Well, here we are, the month of August, the second week. We always trot on down to Terre Haute. I'm with Mayor Duke Bennett. Thank you again for having us for our monthly conversation.
It's great to be here, and I really do enjoy doing this.
I wanted to start with kind of what I feel like the big news, the city's general budget. It was revealed that the Trib Star just came out with a report that state officials ordered an $8 million budget cut this year. So a couple things. This was dated back in January, and it's August. Why are we just now hearing about this?
Well, you know, that was a question I received, but the thing is, we didn't have the plan put together and how we were going to address it. And all this activity has to occur by the end of the year. There's nothing that needs to happen in January or February or March or June. It's got to be completed by December. And so we've got Umbon Associates, our financial consultants, been working on it for the last few months of really trying to help us identify that, and then as we look forward over the next couple of years, to make sure we eliminate all of our deficits. But let me just briefly explain kind of what it is. It's a paperwork thing is all it is. We had a budget that was smaller this year. They approved a larger budget last year that was balanced. This year's budget was even smaller and balanced, and we're going against the deficit. What happened was the forms changed, and so we were required to put our tax cap losses as an expense versus against the revenue. It should have went against the levy, but the way the DLGF decided to do it this year was make you show it as an expense. So if the Parks Department loses $1 million a year, you're saying there's $1 million more of an expense. They leave the revenues the same. And so it's misleading. So we still have a balanced general fund budget this year, no matter what says what the numbers are. What we have to do is, what they've asked us to do is eliminate the deficit in 1 year. And that's impossible. There's no way. Then they know that. They've told us, we know you can't do it, but this is the way the system works. And so we just have to deal with that. So we will, as we get through the rest of the year, we'll make some additional transfers and do some things and do the best we can to reduce that budget, like we do every year, but maybe a little extra this year. And then next year, we will see whether they do it the same way or not, but we've already been told how to work with that to ensure that our budget's approved. So I'm not worried about any budget approval for 18 or beyond. It may just be a one-year anomaly.
Just to go back to the timing of all this, Doesn't that, though, in some ways, now that it's August and you know, the city council hasn't heard about it, doesn't that somewhat contribute to a sense of lack of transparency, though?
Well, some may say that, but I think the key is rolling out the plan in September that we'll have everything we need to do in it over the last 4 months of the year. And so the only thing we could have done in January would have been lay off about half of our staff if they were really serious about making our deficit go away in 1 year and then hire them all back on January 1st. And that's not even feasible. So we knew that, DLGF knew that. We wanted to share with the council our plan. And so that's what we've been working on.
So you told us before you've had a plan to eventually eliminate that. It was about an $8 million
right.
deficit. I guess the question would be, why is the state coming in now?
They just changed the system for 17. And so they did it last fall and made you show the tax cap losses as an expense versus going as revenue against the levy. That's a big change. And so we played by the rules, put our numbers in, and we got penalized for that, basically. Where I've been told other communities put zero in or put a smaller number and they got their budgets approved. We guess we could have done that, but we chose not to.
So you say, I mean, of course, it's not feasible to wipe out $8 million in the budget. And you said the state knows that.
And we told them that, and they're like, yeah, we know that, but that's not. Yeah. They just said that's how the system was. We want to force that issue that if you have a deficit or the funding is being reduced, we want that to basically stand out. And so obviously it's done that.
So there's no consequences to not adhering
to
that.
No, what will happen is when we get our audit done in a couple of years, so when 17's over, sometime in 2019, they'll come back and say, you overspent the general fund by X number of dollars.
Just to kind of reiterate your plan, I know you've talked about this many times, but now, you know, it just kind of keeps coming back. What is that plan to get rid of that deficit?
Well, we've eliminated almost all of our other deficits, our smaller ones. The biggest ones we have left are the golf courses, which we've talked about that, And we're not going to be able to eliminate those for a while, but those are non-reverting funds, are a little bit different. But the general fund, that's the big one. And so we've had, last year and this year, both have balanced budgets where we had revenues that exceeded expenses, and those revenues went right against the deficit. Now when we do some transfers and things for this year, that will knock another probably roughly $2+ million off of that deficit. And then if the public safety LOIT comes into play next year, like that we believe it will, we're probably talking about a year and a half or so to be able to eliminate the deficit totally, which then puts us in great shape.
Do you ever come to the thought that maybe it's just time for those drastic measures, for just eliminating all non-essentials, you know, closing down the park system or making a huge amount of layoffs? I mean, does it ever get to that level that you're...
Not with me, because through attrition, we're about 60 people down over the course of this. The problem is we keep losing more money every year to tax caps. It's never leveled off for us. We're to $11 million a year now to the city of Terre Haute that we used to collect, you know, just a few short years ago. And so through attrition and other things, all we have left are people. And we are minimum staffed in every department, really. We've beefed up the fire department recently, which made our overtime go down drastically. But we're staffed at where we need to be for the fire department now. We're under in police department about 4 today, and that could change here soon, a couple more retirees. So we're already at the minimum staffing in all of our areas. And so if you were to lay a whole bunch of people off, the first thing is you'd have to pay them everything that you owe them, not just last paycheck, but all their vacation, their accrual time, everything they've had over the many, many years they've served us. And then that extends the payout by additional months. So even if you laid 300 people off, let's say, for this year, you probably wouldn't be able to make up that $8 million. And so it's just not even feasible. And those would have to be primarily policemen and firemen.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to touch upon a couple other bigger news events that has happened with the city since we've last been here. Of course, there's the tragic news about the former wastewater plant manager, Mark Thompson, who apparently committed suicide. Mm-hmm. I assume you knew him, and what kind of guy was he?
He was a great guy. I mean, you talk about a hard worker. He just worked to make that plant to be the best it possibly could be. So we're all shocked. All the staff down there, we've got a tremendous staff down there. We got the new plant and all the things that we're doing to be in compliance with our federal guidelines. We've just done that very, very well. And he was very instrumental in, that plant upgrade and just the operations every day. And so it's a tragic situation, and just really, I feel really bad for the family, obviously his friends, his coworkers. And it's just really right now, it's a tough time for everybody.
Yeah, and he was there quite a while, right?
Yeah, he was there before I got here.
About 20 years.
He's been with as the department head for 9.5 years.
Okay.
He worked there for many years before that.
Yeah. You did confirm with us, though, a few weeks ago that there was an FBI served a warrant for an investigation with the wastewater treatment plant. I know that's not in your hands, but is there anything that you can tell us or update on us about that investigation?
There's really not. They came in and they went through records and collected some records that are kept at the wastewater treatment plant related to, billing people we work with. I mean, just that kind of stuff that's down there. And really, we have nothing else since then. They came in and collected the information they wanted to collect and talked to whoever they wanted to talk to. And then now they're going through the process. So don't have any updates or any additional information at all on that.
I also want to address the lawsuit that alleges this pay-for-play arrangement back with the city sludge to diesel project. Basically, for those who don't know, New Jersey-based overseas lease group claims different entities, including some city employees, were asked for a payment in exchange for awarding contracts. And you're shaking your head.
It's simply not true. And so these people sued us and lost in court. Then they sued or went to arbitration with the construction company down there and lost. And now they're trying another lawsuit. And nobody had ever said a word about any of that stuff in the prior lawsuits or arbitration. It never came up. And so it's just unreal that they would throw that kind of stuff out there to help try to push their cause along. We have never done anything like that. This project was bid out, the whole project that the Plocker got. There were actually like eight or nine bids, and they were the low bidder. It went through a very formal public process. the dewatering component. These guys came in and purchased something from Powerdyne, and we never had a legal agreement. And so we're doing the dewatering. No other company got the work. So it's just their attempt to try to, you know, get some money back of what they invested in some of this up front that has really nothing to do with us. It's between them and Plocker.
Have you officially been named in the suit yet?
No. Just
cities, just a few city employees.
They just mention it in there. Nobody's in there from the city.
Okay.
No, we're not defendants in that in any way.
Okay. AP report mentioned a few common fatalities along I-70 mm-hmm. construction, increasing more and more. And I mean, I can say this though, in the I-69 construction in Bloomington, more people, you know, driving, you're going to have an influx of people coming into town. What's the message, right? I mean, besides, you know, just be careful when you're out there.
I think it is. It's really frustrating for us locally. I mean, obviously the interstate, you know, NDOT controls that, the state police patrol it. We've got about 4 miles that are in the city limits. And we just feel awful because there has been a lot of fatalities in our stretch out here in Vigo County. And it's all related to construction. You know, the most recent one we just had the last few days was a car ran into the back of a semi, but obviously probably some distraction or something. I don't want to get ahead of that, but you know, it's right at the point where the traffic has merged from two lanes into one, where there's some bridge work going on. And almost every one of these happens in a construction zone where there's a lot of traffic. First of all, people are slowing down rapidly because they don't really pay attention to the signage a lot of times. And then all of a sudden, if somebody stops abruptly, it's hard for you to stop. And these wrecks are horrendous where people are dying, and it's just sad. And so one of the things that our police department decided to do was do some extra patrols out there to assist the state police by just having a presence, you know, out there with our lights flashing, slowing traffic down, pulling people over for talking on their cell phone, not having their seatbelt on, whatever, just to try to get them refocused on what's going on. And we're hopeful that will help a little bit. We just love to see, you know, people slow down and take their time because, you know, life is too short. It's not, getting a hurry to be home an hour sooner somewhere is not worth giving up, you know, having an accident and injuring yourself or somebody else, or, you know, and we've had so many deaths. It's just, it's really, really bad.
Yeah, this is really interesting because we always talk about the drug addiction problem throughout the state here in Vigo mm-hmm. County.
Yep.
The schools here are now keeping a supply of that naloxone, which is the opioid overdose antidote, as a precaution. Uh-huh. We've heard public responders or safety responders having this on hand, but not schools.
That was a new one for me too.
Yeah.
And I applaud them for having it available. You know, we've used a lot of it ourselves, our policemen and firemen both, and I mean, the use of that has gone up dramatically since 2014 when we first had it available to us. We had a recent case where it took 7 or 8 doses. I never got the final answer to keep somebody alive. And so when we arrive on the scene and somebody who's basically, they're moments from death, a lot of times this revives them. If you've got it already pre-placed in the schools, and whether it's a, you know, who knows who it might be. I suppose it could be a teacher, administrator, it could be anybody like that. It could be a student that's been exposed to it. It could be anyone that if they've got it available, that could save a life. And so it's unfortunate that we have to do that, you know, and some people think that, well, if people choose to do the drugs, they're on their own. But I believe, you know, life is so important, and a lot of us do, that you just have to stock up on this. We have to do everything that we can to deal with that. So you get both sides of the equation on, you know, what all should we do from a life-saving perspective. But I can tell you, it's so important that if we can save a life, we're going to do it. And so I applaud the school corporation for jumping in there and having it available on site.
Have you heard, is there an uptick of overdoses at schools?
No, I've not heard that. Everywhere else. We're finding people sitting in cars or in the park. They're walking down the street. They're in their homes. So it's happening everywhere.
You know, we'll go on to some happier things too. And I can just tell you seem a little different today.
Yeah.
And I know there's a lot going on here in Terre Haute.
It's just a busy time, you know, and with the incident, you know, with our
yeah.
utility
this
director.
This is a tough time.
It really is. And you know, sometimes life deals you some crazy things, but what's important is that we all stay focused, you know, and doing our jobs, do what we need to do while we're mourning, you know, the loss of one of our major team members here, and just kind of dealing with that. And it's budget time on top of everything else. It's, we're still cleaning up from storm damage. We're doing construction projects. Everybody's just kind of, there's a lot of, you know, things are tense right now with a lot of people because there's so much going on. And so I think that's the biggest thing with me. It's just, boy, the days are full right now. There's just so many things happening, and it's pretty crazy. It's probably the best way to say it.
And then how do you kind of sell that to the residents mm-hmm. of Terre Haute with, you know, with all this going on right now?
You know, it's hard because some people, you know, very sympathetic. I've got so many calls of support and just saying, you know, we're praying for you, we're thinking about you guys. And then you get, on the other hand, people who may be frustrated that we closed 7th Street and it's affecting their travel and their way into downtown Terre Haute, things like that. So every day you kind of balance the trying to do the good things with dealing with the negative consequences that come sometimes from projects or things that happen that just are out of your control. So it has been. It's been very trying times for the last few weeks. And, you know, we just got to persevere. We've all just got to keep, you know, keep focused on what we're doing. Yet, as I said, continue to mourn the loss, especially that's the most recent thing. And really, that's all you can do. You know, you just got to, life throws you some challenges sometimes, and you know we faced some recently.
So you mentioned 7th Street construction, uh-huh. but you're really excited about that because that's a project you've been wanting to get going here.
For several years, and we just didn't have the funds to do it. It's going to cost us nearly $900,000 to do about a 10-block stretch because the old railroad tracks, we've talked about that before, that used to go to Sullivan, the interurban rail, run right through there. And so we've got to dig the road out, and it's pretty intensive work. And so it really disrupts a major thoroughfare from the south end to downtown Terre Haute. And there's a lot of apartments through there, a lot of, you know, ISU students that'll be coming back soon. And it'll be pretty disruptive for several weeks here, but we hope to get it done as fast as we can, obviously, and by October 1st. And we're going to work really hard to make that happen.
Speaking of ISU, I know, did the regular school, has that started already here?
Tomorrow.
Public school's tomorrow.
So it's
Wednesday.
This week is the day. Things are going to be really hectic for that as everybody kind of gets in their new routines. And then ISU and the other, you know,
all
colleges,
the students
universities,
will be coming back.
All be coming back. And it's a big change. You know, the summer can be kind of quiet at times because all those students are gone and kids are on vacation, whatever. But when everybody comes back in August, you know, things really start happening. There's a real buzz around the community. Traffic increases, you know, it doubles pretty much, and the foot traffic and just everything else. So it's always a fun time. It's an exciting time to see the energy and the excitement as everybody gets back to school.
On my way in, I saw they're laying mulch out front here of the courthouse and the median.
Uh-huh.
So all those kind of preparations for all those people as they come into town. Do you have any other messages on projects, things going on, areas to avoid?
Well, there's a lot. You know, so we got Margaret Avenue, of course, under construction.
Yeah.
7th Street, that'll be pretty disruptive. And then just a lot of paving projects around. But it shouldn't be anything that doesn't last more than a few days other than those two big ones. So, you know, it's exciting to see that growth and that development and that investment in our infrastructure. It's just, it is frustrating for people sometimes. I get that. And we get the calls. But when it's done, you're going to love it. And that's what we look forward to, is just being able to make our city shine.
And I hear the Rex made the playoffs.
Yes, they did. So
how exciting.
They kind of turned things around this year. And so they're in the playoffs right now. Hopefully they can win this first round and, you know, make it to the finals. So we're rooting for the Rex to pull it off and take the next step.